Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Today is Saturday, September 10, 2016. This is Tony Herman interviewing Pedro Sotelo about his service to our country. Which branch of the service were you in?
U.S. Army.
Okay. And did you get drafted or did you sign up?
Sign up.
Okay. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Puerto Rico. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Then I moved to the United States in 1990.
Okay.
In 1993, I moved to Kansas City, and I've been here since.
Okay. And when did you join the service?
I joined in 1995.
Okay. Did you serve in any wars?
Yes, in Iraq in 2003.
Okay. Would you like to tell us what that experience was like?
Yeah, sure. I was part of a local unit out of the reserves, United States Reserves, Army Reserves, that is located in Belton, Missouri. It's a psychological operations unit, so we're part of special operations of the United States Army. So we're a small piece of what special operations do out in the battlefield. In 2003, at the beginning, we got the call that we will be deployed, and we left Belton and went to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And a few weeks later, we departed from Fort Bragg and landed in Romania. And that's where all the special operations units were being assembled at. And shortly thereafter, in April 25th of 2003, landed in Iraq, in Erbil, Iraq. And from there, spent about a day and a half there. From there, we went to Kirkuk. And that's where I spent the rest of my deployment. I was attached to the 173rd Airborne Division, Airborne Brigade, I'm sorry, out of Vicenza, Italy. And spent the time with them doing support, psychological operations work, supporting all of their battalions and companies that were out deployed throughout the area. We operated anywhere between Kirkuk, Iraq, and Tikrit, where the 4th ID was located. So we did missions throughout that whole sector. We did many type of missions. We did anything from deception missions to disseminating information, trying to gain the hearts and minds of the local Iraqi civilians. Sometimes they were not civilians, they were actually former Republican Guard that had left their uniform and became civilians as the war started, which was our first surprise. We thought we would be fighting an army. We ended up fighting a more of a guerrilla warfare terrorist unit, or insurgency, if you want to call it that way.
Okay.
And we did a lot of, I did a lot of intelligence gathering. Part of my job was to do analysis on the towns that we were at, for the purposes of doing psychological operations in the area, and also to assist the intelligence, local intelligence units that were out there so that we can operate. We'd had, you know, good days and bad days, as most people can talk about war. We had times when we were, you know, firefights, things like that, where we were also times that we were downtime and not much going on. But being an element like us, psychological operations, we work in three-man teams. And in order for us to do an operation, we will get attached to a main unit, in this case, the 173rd. They will provide us a type of security, maybe a squad of infantry soldiers, and we will go out and do missions. But unfortunately, because there was so much going on, in several of the places that we were at, we will find ourselves, just the three of us and an interpreter, doing what we call village assessments and things of that nature. sometimes with even thinking about the dangers of going out there without any type of support, any type of radio contact, which we lost quite a bit. Just three guys and an interpreter trying to figure out what was going on in some of the outside small tribal towns. And it was a very interesting experience, to say the least.
How long were you in Iraq?
I was in Iraq from April to September. I came in early because I had a situation at home that I needed to take care of, and the Army allowed me to come home, and because the time that was left was short, they allowed me to stay. The rest of my team came out a few months later.
Okay. Were you injured while in Iraq?
Not in a physical type. I suffer right now from post-traumatic stress disorder and discovered that I had traumatic brain injury from several missions that I was part of. So I have been given 100% disability by the Veterans Affairs. And so that's the...
What inspired you to join the service?
When I was very little, I have a recollection of my grandfather's funeral. He was in the military. In fact, we're trying to find out because his records that we have so far say that he was drafted during World War I, but there's also a draft and enlistment paperwork of World War II, which is very unlikely that that would ever happen. But at any rate, when he passed away, I was very little. I was about 3.5 years old, and I still have the recollection of the funeral. And through the years, I've tried to figure out what that was, what did it mean, him in uniform, what was the whole thing, and understood then that he served the country, he served our country. And I began to understand that that was something that was in me as well, that I wanted to do. I wanted to serve our country, not because I owe anything or I wanted to be a hero or anything like that. Simply wanted to help others. And this was a way that I could do it. In 1995, when I graduated basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, where I did my basic training, it was probably one of my proudest day, putting aside the birth of my children and coming home from Iraq. It was probably the most proud I ever felt to have been accepted and joined the ranks of those that came before me and those that are coming after me.
Okay. What was the highest rank you achieved?
Staff Sergeant, E6.
Okay. What was it like coming home from Iraq?
Because my returning home was different, I came in an emergency leave type. There was nothing. I will tell you this. I left Iraq, didn't know the day I was leaving. I happened to find out the morning that my flight was leaving, I was told to basically go to the airfield, and I was going in an aircraft. Went from Iraq to Germany, and in Germany had to figure out how to find plane tickets to come to the United States. Interesting enough, yesterday, the 9th of September, was my 13th anniversary of returning home. I returned home on the 9th of September, 2003, and I came home. One of my brothers and his family was there, and my mother and my father were there to receive me. There were no parades, there were no music, there were no signs. Not that I care for any of that. But it was a very strange thing to come to. Just a few days before that, I was in a combat zone. And I went from being in a combat zone to KCI.
Quite a difference.
And it was a little different, yes.
Yeah. You stay in touch with anybody that was in your unit?
Yes. Just a few of them we have kept in touch throughout the times. just found out that they're going to be doing a reunion here in the next few months. So it will be really, really cool to see some of the guys again and see what they've been up to. But after the deployment, we all kind of went our different ways, kind of try to figure out what to do next. Some have struggled, like myself, with post-traumatic stress disorder. Some other ones didn't. So I don't know what has kept us apart, but I know that we still remember each other. So that counts for something.
Yeah. Are you active with any military groups, VFW or Legion or any of those?
Since I came back, and you know, years later when I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and got disability, I didn't know what to do with my time. So I joined a lot of different groups. But one thing that I have kept doing is still helping veterans regardless. If I find a veteran that I meet somewhere, a church or anywhere like that, and I talk to them, and if they haven't received any help, that they don't know that they can be helped, they can get some benefits from their service, I try to help them. I try to go with them to the VA hospital and go through the whole process with them, since I already been through it and I know how it works. I've done that. I've been part of several groups, work with a lot of veterans in the Kansas City area. I've done work with veterans where we actually use the outdoors as a healing process and recovery process. Ended up in 2003 going to Peru and climbing a mountain, 18,000 foot mountain, with 12 other veterans, two of them actually blind. And one of the leaders that was leading us is the only blind person that has ever climbed Mount Everest. His name is Eric Wehmeyer, and he founded this organization called Soldiers to Summits as a part of him honoring veterans and trying to help them and giving them an opportunity to find another way of life that can help them recover. And I found that that was something that helped me, the outdoors, climbing mountains, doing hiking. So my wife and I try to stay pretty active now. We do some biking, we do some hiking, we try to do whatever we can as part of my recovery process that continues.
Do you have any regrets?
You know, it's a very interesting question, because when I joined the military, my idea was to stay until the military will tell me to get out. However, I left in 2004, and because I came home and got divorced, and I fought to keep my kids, and I kept them, to maintain a military career at that point would mean that I would have to leave them, and the situation that had happened prior to that with them and their mother was not a favorable situation. So I had to make a decision, my family or the uniform. And this was one of those that I said, it'll be my family. My family will come first. I still wonder sometimes what would have been like if I would have stayed. I got friends that have stayed, and they have gone into the ranks higher. And I have to admit, did get jealous a few times. But when I look back, when I really, really look back and put everything in perspective, I'm glad of what I did. I'm glad of my service. I'm glad that we went and liberated a country that was being oppressed by a regime that didn't care for them. It was amazing to see the faces of the people that were liberated. I imagine it had to look something like what the World War II veterans saw throughout Europe. I know it's not a very popular thing to talk about, that much about Iraq is not being told. People always understood that the war was simply WMDs and that we were going to WMDs, and they do not understand. Yeah, WMDs was a big part, but these people were suffering in unimaginable ways. These people were dealing with a regime that was beyond of anything that we know. It was very comparable to what we know about what Hitler was doing to the people that he was oppressing. Treating them the same ways, abusing them, disregarding them, and sometimes using chemical weapons against them as a form of test to see if the weapons were effective. And people get blindsided by these WMDs, and they call it, well, it's a failed mission. And it's hard to understand today that people will stand in front of people and talk about in the TV and whatever format and say that the Iraq war was a failure. When I was there and we came to the towns and their military that was supposed to be defending that country ran away because they could not fight us. And the people came out of their houses and they came to us and they will give us flowers and they will smile. I'm sorry to say, but who cares about the freaking WMDs? It means nothing. Those smiles, those children's faces, I will do it over again. Over again. And it doesn't matter what intelligence was given, if it was good, bad, it doesn't make a difference. Were there MWNDs? You know what? We can talk about it. There was places that I went to that there were chemical weapons in those areas. To me, that's not even the point, because the human life is what matters. And we changed the country. It's sad to say that we left that country and we didn't continue the mission as we did in Europe and other parts of the world that we helped liberate. We should have continued the mission to help them rebuild. They wouldn't be going through what they're going through today. We abandoned them. I imagine this is exactly how Vietnam veterans feel about those that they were trying to help in South Vietnam. And then we abandoned them. I'm sorry I'm passionate about this, but it's hard sometimes to hear people say the war in Iraq was a mistake. You know what? It wasn't a mistake. Those people deserved a better life than what they were getting. And if we could provide it, it was worth everything.
What words of wisdom would you like future generations to hear?
First, don't forget your history. Don't forget where you come from. Don't forget what has been done for you. And the reasons why you can do and live the way you live today is because those that came before you. Don't forget that. But also learn from what it was done. Because not everything was perfect. So we can always do better. And the only way to do better is by understanding our mistakes. So if I were to say it in a simple way, is never forget your history as you look towards your future.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us?
Talking about that history, my hope is things like this, recordings like this, archiving like this, it gets broadcasted to the country and even to the world. To remind us that, you know, we are all humans and we make mistakes. And sometimes the selfishness is what brings a lot of this. However, we do live together for the most part. We have to respect each other and work with each other. There is much that can be learned from military veterans. We're not special. We don't need to be given big platforms. We don't need to be given, you know, awards or this type of recognition. In fact, most veterans will tell you that they don't care for any of that. But don't forget, today less than 2% of the population in the United States have served in the military. It's hard to understand that that is a small number that keeps such a wonderful country keep going forward. Let us not forget who they are and what they've done so that we can continue to have the blessings and the enjoyment that we have in our country. That would be what I'd like people to know more than anything else.
Okay. We thank you for your time. Very informative interview. We do thank you for your service.
Thank you so much.
All right.